Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Keenan, and Nick till 4. That was a pretty good score right there. I decided to dial into the Rolodex this morning and try and do at least one, if not more, to surprise you a little bit on your birthday. Ray Allen wanted to be a part of the show, and unfortunately for us, but fortunately for him, he's in D.C. He toured the African American History Museum yesterday. He's touring the Pentagon and other things today with his family, so he couldn't do it. But yeah, he is. Talk about a guy who's dialed in. On the way out, Obama just named him to a couple different committees.
Really?
Yeah, on the way out. So Ray's involved in a lot of things. We're eventually going to have him on the show, but he definitely wanted to be a part of the show as well. But at least we got D. Brooks. I hit him up this morning, and he was like, yeah, man, absolutely. I didn't take much, and that was awesome. That was a good couple segments right there.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to finish telling a story about the locker room thing. You know, if people didn't know, Keyshawn and Sapp were kind of at odds, you know, and that's why I say Brooks would take one side and I would take one side of the locker room, and Brooks would be like, all right, you take care of your guy Key and I'll take care of my guy Sapp to keep the peace in the locker room. It was kind of funny, you know, on a Super Bowl winning team, you know, you have egos that you have to kind of, I guess, stroke a little bit. Mm-hmm. And me and Brooks basically stroked both of those guys' ego to make sure that they, you know, that they came out and performed and played well together. I mean, and it was funny. You know, I got a chance to go to Tampa and was named the captain when I just walked in July and was named captain. Wow. So on the offensive side of the ball, and it was fun. It was probably one of the best times of my career to be with some guys that were really professional that went out and took the game seriously. And you know, we had one thing on our mind. Even though we had some friction here and there throughout this season, we had one thing on our mind. You know what? We have to win it all. I always used to what was the old Yankee manager's Billy Martin used to say, I can't have everybody in the locker room the same. We got to have a little friction for us to win. And they had a lot of friction in their locker room in New York. And guess what they did? They won championships. And we had some in our locker room in Tampa, but nobody knew about it. But we kept it right in house. Mm-hmm. And we dealt with it in house, and we won a championship.
Well, I was going to say, the other thing that we continue to go back and forth on, because look, you know what? At the end of the day, you know, we kid Trav about his wheeze, and we all got our teams. And obviously, look, I never hide that I'm a Packer fan, but I want the Texans to win. And we've talked about all year about how a game manager used to be a really good title for a guy that understood his role and he played it so as to not hurt the biggest assets on your team.
Right.
Brad Johnson was that guy for you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, guess what? He managed it to a T. I always say the two guys that always come to mind to me that were game managers that made the most of it, Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson, they won Super Bowls. You can't argue with that.
I mean, we had the best defense in the league that year. Yep. I mean, broke a lot of records.
Yep.
The Texans got the best defense in the league.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
So guess what? Don't blow it on the offensive side of the ball. Do your job. Right. Go out, score. If you don't have it, play field position. The defense will get you the ball back, and I guarantee it's a recipe to win. Because if you lean on your defense, it's a recipe of winning. And you play ball control the clock, score when you have to score, because your defense is going to put you in great field position, and you just got to score when you're supposed to score, and you'll win the football game. So I'm looking forward to this game tomorrow. I want to see this number one defense go out and shut down a quarterback that, you know, as people say, you know, he's a first time starter, but he's a first time starter in the playoffs when the intensity goes up threefolds, you know, and so I'm looking forward to them putting that pressure on.
That's why I said special teams is going to be so important too, because like you said, because of field position, to allow your defense to not be backed up to make sure they can do their job, Leckler is going to be important.
Yes.
Capitalizing on every point you can possibly get with Novak. Special teams both ways, their kickers and punters are really good. So they're going to have to lean on those guys this week too.
Oh, no doubt. And I would like to see in the special teams, the return game get started just a little bit. You know, make a play in the return game and change the field position will be big. Mm-hmm. It will be big in the playoffs.
For sure. So we got a big one, and it's weird because it's not a Sunday game, it's a Saturday game. And it's the greatest, Coach McHale was saying, he loves it because the wife's out of town, he can golf, and it's the best weekend to be a football fan because you've got actually Saturday, Sunday, Monday, because you got two NFLs on Saturday, then you got two NFLs on Sunday, and then Monday night you got the national championship game. So it all lines up for you, and it's a great weekend for people to watch football. The Texans playing the first, kicking off the whole thing tomorrow afternoon. And again, kind of like what we were talking about with the Rockets, but this is a playoff game. You have it at home, and you got to capitalize on that.
Yes.
You already know the roof's going to be closed, and even if it was sunshine and 73 degrees, it was going to be closed, and they want it loud. But these people have got to get behind this team, because the other thing, that other factor we're not factoring in, that's that extra intangible, that crowd. That place can get awfully loud when that crowd is behind this team. Like I said, we cried about Brock Osweiler all year and bitched about him and said all these things about him, but he is who he is, and he's starting quarterback. You don't need to worry about that. Just get out, support your team, and provide some energy for a team that, recall what happened last year now, and I hate to bring it up, but the energy was it was good. The kickoff was run back for a touchdown, and from that point on, the air was out of that building, and it never came back.
You know what? One thing about the Texans fans, they support their team, whether it's outside tailgating or inside. I know because I've been to four or five games this year.
Yep.
And guess what? They support their team. And I think this is the only thing I want them to understand. Things happen in games. Like you said, last year, the opening kickoff, it was taken back and the air went out the stadium. Mm-hmm. Do not let the air out the stadium tomorrow. Support this team because they got the better team. And they gotta prove it. And I think this is what you play for. You play for You play for a home playoff game.
Yeah.
You play the season to get a home playoff game. Whether you're 9-7 or 10-4 or 14-2.
And you and Trapp have been preaching all along. You can't win unless you're in it. And that's why it's so important, even if the Texans do the same 9-7, 9-7, 9-7, as long as they win the division, they get in. But once you're in, to be able to have the
new
luxury
season of
having a game in your backyard with your home crowd, you got to capitalize on that. It's an advantage for you, but it could be a disadvantage for them if you make it that way. So that's why you're right. You got to knock the roof off that place. You got to make it so loud they can't think. Get them a couple penalties because they can't hear the snap count.
Yes.
And put them in another intangible that can put them in a tough situation. We talk about field position, special teams, everything. That's another one they can't do that you can. You got to capitalize on that.
If you watched the last Monday night game, the Sunday night game, the Green Bay and
Detroit. Yep.
Everybody, they both were in the playoffs, right?
Yep.
They both were in the playoffs.
Right.
But guess what? They were still playing hard. Why? Because they wanted a home playoff game.
Yeah.
It makes the difference. You don't think.
It's a good point.
You don't think Green Bay wanted the Giants or whoever to come to Lambeau and play in the type of weather that they have right now?
Right.
That's why you play hard and when you want to win your division.
Yeah, well, and you capitalize on the fact that, like, just like we say with the roof stuff, in November and December, you want teams coming to Houston because it's hot. You'd love to have the roof open. You're used to it. They're not. But in the same way, teams up north, that's why I can't stand the fact that Minnesota went indoors, Detroit went indoors. That's a huge advantage. If you could have spun that and gotten a team that's used to warm weather, now you've got an even bigger advantage. So that's when we say, take advantage of what you have in intangibles playing at your place. In Houston's case, that place can get really loud.
Yes.
It needs to be loud 5 to 10 minutes before kickoff, all the way on through, because it can make the Raiders be in a really tough situation.
It will make the Raiders be in a tough situation with it being so loud.
Especially with a rookie quarterback. That's the other factor
factor.
That's the one that you got to also take into consideration. So what do you think? You want to talk Texans and Raiders? We'll do that. You want to talk to your Rockets, Oklahoma City, and the Western Conference? We can do that too. We got plenty more to come up on this show, and we've got plenty more to go.
We got James Palmer of the NFL Network.
James Palmer of the NFL Network is going to join us at 2:30. He has his finger on the pulse of the NFL and the Texans, so we'll get him into the show as well. We want you on the show to join us, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel Blank, Keenan McCardell, and Nick Sharara till 4 o'clock, and we are having some fun. It's the birthday boy Keenan McCardell show. It's 1 to 4. It is nothing but a complete score for you, the football fan and the fan of Houston sports, as we continue to roll through topics like the Rockets, the Texans, the wild card weekend, and NFL games, as well as other things that we have on our list, including coaching changes in the NFL, interviewing for possible positions. LeBron James wants a point guard, but they got him a shooter instead. You tell me. We'll talk about it. But before we talk about any of that, we want to continue to talk about what's relevant and important in the city of Houston, Texas, and that is the big game tomorrow between the Texans and the Raiders. And again, we mentioned this yesterday a little bit, but we know that the Texans don't have a whole lot of tape on Connor Cook, but we do know someone that has competed against Connor Cook for a couple years, and that would be my partner, Keenan McCardell. And for people that don't know, there was a lot of people throwing mud this week, trying to create some kind of negativity on the Connor Cook front. But look, he was drafted as high as he was for a reason. He's on the roster for a reason. And as a college quarterback in a tough conference, when you coached against him, when you were with Maryland and he was with Michigan State, you saw exactly what people are going to see on Saturday afternoon. That is a competitor that has an arm and has some ability.
He has some ability. He has a good touch on his ball. You know, we at Maryland tried to put a lot of pressure on him and make him uncomfortable in the pocket. It didn't work too well for us, but I think the Texans can do it because we saw as a coaching staff that if you put pressure on him, put it in his face, it makes him a little uncomfortable in the pocket. Not a real mobile quarterback. So if you keep him in the pocket and put the pressure on him, you can get to him. He's a tall guy with a really good arm. He can make all the throws. So I think, you know, the Texans defense will have to get after him to make him uncomfortable. I mean, it's his first start and it's a playoff start. Like I said, the intensity is going to be going through the roof. It's different from the regular season. So if we can get a pass rush and get after those guys and make it uncomfortable for him
contain the edges
in the
too.
Pocket.
Yeah.
You know, containing the edges for me with him, he's not that mobile because I think you'll be able to run him down.
Okay.
My big thing is what happened to the Texans last time? They used the running backs against our linebackers to make big plays. So the Texans will have to make sure they match up very well because the Raiders did find the mismatch with the running backs on the Texans linebackers. So I'm looking to see if the Texans correct that mistake.
And that's going to be a big thing, too. I mean, look, these are the kind of intangibles you want to hear getting into this game because you want to know. Because I hate going back to that game a year ago, but everything you thought you knew about the Kansas City Chiefs, you obviously didn't know everything, and they caught you napping in a couple of areas. Special teams was awful. By the way, I did see Joe Avizzano on the sidelines of the Detroit Lions on Sunday night. So he does continue to find jobs. But look, their special teams is better this year all the way around, which is a huge feather in the cap of the Texans organization for doing the right thing, for Bill O'Brien to get the right guys. And you can't say enough about Nick Novak, who arguably could be one of the MVPs of this team this year.
No doubt.
He's going to need to be right tomorrow because as much as we go back to what Tony Dungy said about this could be a 2-0 game, every point is going to be at a premium, and you need to capitalize every time you're in scoring position. And that's why we said field position is important, but the kickers are going to be huge. You forget on the other side of the ball. I don't care how old he is. I don't care, you know, how big he is. I don't care. Travis will tell you playing with him in college.
Yes.
He's a different dude, but Sebastian Janikowski from 60, 65 yards, you got to give him a better than 50% chance because that man has a leg, and for years he has pounded it between the goalposts.
Yes, and you know what? He was a first round pick as a kicker. So guess what? They drafted him in the first round for a reason because, you know, he's a clutch guy. So if the Raiders can move the ball and get him in range of from 55, I would give him 59 and up. He's going to give it a good shot. And with the intensity going like it is in the playoffs, yeah. 60, like you say, 60 yards may be a shot for him.
Indoors.
Indoors.
So the weather's not a factor. The wind's not a factor. That always gives kickers an extra 5 to 10 yards as it is. And then, like you said, he's going to be juiced up because it's a playoff game.
I mean, so, and they know if you miss, you go home. If you make it, you stay in it. So, like Coach Dungy said, 2-0. What if we get a 3-2 game?
Oh boy, don't hurt people like that. We kidded about a relief pitcher being the difference in the game, but we don't want to see reality hit with a don't do that. That's terrible. Nick, what? You want a 3-2 game as long as the Texans win?
No, I do not want it.
I didn't think you did.
No.
I didn't think you did.
Why not? It's a win, right?
Oh, if we get the W, I mean, I guess in retrospect, if that already had happened and we get the W, maybe it's okay.
You're relying on your strength, which is your defense.
Yeah.
Well, their defense, their front seven's not bad. It's pretty damn good.
The back end is where I think the Texans should make some hay.
They could, but then it falls back on 17, and that's what you don't want.
He is the starting quarterback.
I said it. I'm the one that's been pushing that. I know that.
Starting quarterback. He was the starting quarterback from day one of the NFL season.
There was a brief period late that he wasn't.
But they shouldn't be worried because at the day one of the season, Connor Cook was not the starter. He was the number three quarterback. So you got literally the number three quarterback going against the number one quarterback.
In most cases, you'd say that's a plus. In a lot of people's minds, you're still not so sure. But hey, that's why they play the games. So we've got that going on. I wanted to cover some other football things before we move on to get some other things too. But you had mentioned P.J. Fleck a while back as a guy that was going to be courted by a lot of teams, but he was a Midwest guy, probably wanted to stay Midwest. Leaves Western Michigan because of the Minnesota debacle.
Right.
And takes over a Big Ten program in Minnesota. I think he wanted the Purdue job, but he ends up with the Minnesota job. You're a guy that has said from the get-go, this guy can coach.
He's a coach. He can coach. He's a young, energetic coach. I think Minnesota made a great hire. I mean, if you watch the bowl game, the Wisconsin-Western Michigan game, you listen to him, his pregame speech to his team, mm-hmm. You notice this guy can coach and can get his guys ready to play.
Motivate.
I mean, he motivates these guys, and he's a really good X and O guy also. So, you know, Minnesota made a great hire. I hope the players, you know, I know they were boycotting a lot of things. Don't boycott.
Only in Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Minnesota guys. Yeah. Do not boycott Coach Flick. He's a really good coach. Give him a chance. And I think he'll bring a lot of success to Minnesota.
And Minnesota is on the way up. They are.
They've made a bowl game. They've been doing some things.
So they need some stability in the coaching staff. Before that, they had the coaching issues with health issues and concerns.
Yes.
This is a young guy that should be able to come in, stabilize it from a coaching perspective, and make them competitive in the Big Ten. And that's saying something because that's a pretty tough conference.
Yeah, they gave him a 6-year deal, so that means he's going to be there a while. He's going to stabilize things and get it going in the right direction, which is already going in the right direction.
Right.
He's just going to put it back on the track.
And we said he knows the Midwest, so that's the spot for him. And so P.J. Fleck takes over at Minnesota. That's a good gig for him. And then on the professional front, the Colts. We're not sure what they were going to do. They could have been the seventh team looking for a head coach.
True.
But instead, Indianapolis agrees to bring back Chuck Pagano for 2017. Your thoughts there?
You know what? Coach Pagano is a really good coach. I mean, I know him. He was on the staff with me before, and I understand him. I really think that, you know, with Andrew Luck being out, them not protecting Andrew Luck, mm-hmm. is what causes all this stir in Indianapolis. I mean, they're you got to remember, they had Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning ran everything.
Right.
Yeah. And I think Andrew's starting to understand that this is what the culture around here is. Now, I need to take more control and run everything. Go in and demand that, hey, you got to get me a left tackle, a right tackle. You know, you can't have these guys running down the chute and knocking me out every third game. So I think he's starting to understand that, and Coach Pagano will get the job done. The thing that I do know about the Indianapolis Colts, those players love to play for him, and you can tell by the way they play on the football field.
That, you know what? That is something that's very important too. You got to take into consideration the fact that players got to want to play for the guy that's got the headset on. That's key. So in the division, Chuck Pagano will be back with the Colts. Jacksonville still looking for a head coach. The Titans, they're going to stick with what they got because they were almost there. But it's almost solidified in terms of who's going to be calling the shots in the AFC South. Now it's a matter of who's calling the shots in the playoffs tomorrow on Kirby. We have much more to talk about. We're at the halfway point. We've reached halftime, so we're going to step away, grab a towel, a Gatorade, and talk some things over so we can game plan for the second half. You want to be a part of it? You certainly can. The door is wide open. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
What up, H-Town? We're at the halfway point of another great show. It's an FYF Friday, and it's Keenan McCardell's birthday, and he's here till 4 doing his second straight. He must be parched. Nick, we might need to get him a Gatorade and a towel because he's putting in a lot of extra work. I mean, this is his second day of really having to work and struggle through 3 hours each day.
I'm not struggling.
No, not struggling that way, but yeah. I mean, from a time and endurance perspective, I mean, you got to make sure the pipes are right.
I might need a little hydration after the night.
Oh!
A Gatorade.
Going down, birthday bash.
Yeah, tomorrow. I didn't get my invite, but
I didn't either.
Okay, see, there. That's how he does it.
I thought you guys was taking me.
No, we let the wife drive the bus on that one.
It's happy hour. You might as well take me for it.
Things can change. Okay. All right. So standing by on the hotline, we got another great guest coming up on a Friday to give you all the information you need leading up to a wild card weekend. It's a guy that we know from his days at CSN here in Houston, Texas, but a national reporter for the NFL Network and a guy that knows his stuff and has his finger on the pulse of the NFL. It is James Palmer. James, welcome to the show. It's Joel and Keenan on a Friday in H-Town. What's going on, my man?
Not too much. I'm pretty pumped it's Keenan's birthday, Keenan. I'm flying in a couple of hours. You think I can, get the call? Maybe where are you guys going to be later?
Hey, man, you know our old spot across the street, the Republic. Yeah. But, hey, man, we got to have your insight on what's going on around the league, the playoff stuff, but also some of the coaching things. So we're gonna start off with the playoffs. What do you see with this the Raiders Texans game?
I think it all comes down to Connor Cook. I mean, I've been in Oakland the last couple of days and almost this entire week and really trying to get a pulse on that, on how that team feels about Connor Cook. And really, Jack Del Rio said it best, asked about Cook's mentality and kind of what he looks like coming into this game. And he said, we don't really know. Let's let the kid go play and find out. And that's kind of, you know, the Raiders don't know that much about what he can do on the big stage. They were impressed. And really what he did against the Denver Broncos to close out that game, they liked how he came in with confidence. I talked to both Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper, and Cooper and I really talked for a little while about what he's looking to do to get that chemistry up. And Keenan, you probably know about this. When you got a new quarterback, he's telling him all week, he told me, I got to tell him, you know, on this particular route, I win this every time. I want the ball here on this route. I want the ball this. These are all things that Derek Carr and these receivers had down pat. And over these next 10 days, they've been trying to work on how they can get things together with Connor Cook. And you know, these guys haven't caught a whole lot of balls from Connor Cook. So the thing I do like is the way they protect the quarterback. They've allowed the fewest sacks of anybody else in football. And the way that they have the ability to run. They didn't do it against the Texans earlier this year. But if they can run the football and they definitely force turnovers, second in the league, if they can get Brock to get in some difficult spots, talking to some guys in that secondary, they said they know he forces balls. They know when he forces balls. So they have a little bit of a grasp on that. But everything comes down to Connor Cook and the health of Donald Penn at left tackle. That's going to be the thing to watch, protecting his blind side against now what? Two all pros announced today in Whitney Mercilus and Jadeveon Clowney.
James, here's a question that we don't normally focus on or ask come postseason time, but it's going to be a question that might be important. Who is the backup quarterback for the Raiders? Have they named one? Is McGloin even serviceable? Do they have to get someone off the street from all the tryouts and things they've been doing? But, I mean, if Connor Cook goes away, what is their next option?
Well, Matt McGloin did practice this entire week. And you know, it was interesting. Early in the week, Jack Del Rio tells us, well, this was an easy decision to go with Connor Cook. One, we thought he played really well coming into that game against Denver. And two, Matt's hurt. I think it's a lot more number one. I think they think that Connor Cook gives them a better chance to win than Matt McGloin.
Yes.
Watching Matt McGloin get out there and practice on Wednesday already and then practice again on Thursday, if he's healthy enough, he'll be the backup. And if he practiced both those days, I'm going to assume that they thought Connor Cook was a better option than Matt McGloin, and Matt McGloin's going to be backing him up.
No doubt, because he was the number two going in, and then if he practiced Wednesday and Thursday, he definitely should have been the named starter, you know, if he was the number two all year. So I think they feel better with Connor Cook also. How about the Texans? What do you see on that side? I know you've covered the Texans a lot, so tell me what you think about that.
The thing I like most about Houston, what they've been able to do this year, is that they've been able to stop the run and be able to play in the box without having to add a guy.
Right.
And I think that's been one of the most impressive things I've seen out of that front, is that when you don't have to add somebody into that box and you think you can stop the run, man, you can get real creative on what you do on the back side of things. And talking to guys throughout the league, I was in five cities in the last week and a half with different teams, and almost all of them told me A.J. Bouye might be one of the biggest Pro Bowl snubs in the entire league. And this was coming from guys that just don't even know him personally.
Wow.
I mean, Michael Thomas, the safety down in Miami, he goes, in my mind, he's the biggest Pro Bowl snub. Players know players.
No doubt.
And that dude is a lockdown corner. And that's what he told me. And I remember watching that game. I was down for the Bengals game, and I was doing hits with LT. And me and LaDainian Thompson are sitting in the green room watching, and I told him, listen, Aqib Talib told me before the season started, he works out with AJ, he told me before the season started, this dude is going to be a lockdown corner. And as we're watching this game, LT just keeps looking at me going, this dude just knows where to be. He knows where to be. He does. He's like, from watching him, I can tell how much he studies. From watching him, I can tell how much work he puts in. And that's the corner that nobody's talking about. I mean, so I like the way this defense is built. The Brock situation is what it is. I think Lamar Miller, with the plan was always to have him ready for the playoffs. So he's had a little bit more rest than really, you know, if this was a middle of the season type of game. They've massaged this as it's gone on the last 2 weeks to have him ready, because he had a workload that he hasn't had in the NFL before. So I think the run game is just obviously extremely important with Brock, and you just hope he doesn't turn the football over and let the defense do what they do.
I got a question. Do you think the Texans offensive line can hold up with the pass rush, with the Oakland Raiders pass rush in their front four, their front seven?
That's the problem. I mean, Khalil Mack, you see what he's done before. I mean, the last time, I know it wasn't the same O-line, but the last time he faced Brock Osweiler on American soil, not down in Mexico, I mean, he was with the Broncos and he sacked the dude five times.
Right.
So, I mean, Khalil Mack, he's going to be a guy that you just hope that you can get your playoff in time before he eventually gets there. I think the Bruce Irvin addition has been huge for them, because it's just been somebody else you have to pay attention to. And I think that addition to the other side has made Mac, you know, all that much better. I don't know if they have the ability to block him. You just got to pick your spots. And it's one of those situations where maybe you try to avoid that side, and you try to avoid running much to that side.
James, there's been a lot of talk this week, and you know a lot of people in this league, but especially locally, it's been the number one story. It's Bill O'Brien versus Rick Smith. Is there really a rift? When there's smoke, is there fire? What are you hearing about all that, and the fact that if this team doesn't go far in the playoffs, Bill might have had enough?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think there's a lot that goes into all of this. I think Bill's shown over the last couple of years that he can coach in the National Football League and that he could be a head coach. I mean, when you win and go to the playoffs, when you play four different quarterbacks, I think that's been a hell of a coaching job. And I also think that shows more about Brock Osweiler than it does about Bill O'Brien. If he found a way to have four quarterbacks play his system to a standard that they could get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins and move the football, and then one guy the next year can't really operate his system, does that fall on Bill O'Brien? I mean, I don't think that really falls on the head coach all that much. Jay Glazer isn't wrong about much. I do know that Bill really, really likes Houston and the layout that it has for his son, who has special needs, and the amount of hospitals and everything that's down there, that they're really happy with what's there. But I think he also has shown the entire league that he can be a head coach in this league, and there's a lot of really attractive jobs.
Well, I was going to say, a lot of people in the league have said Godsey and O'Brien. They might not be popular names right now in the city of Houston, but across the league, there is a lot of respect for those two guys and a lot of people that would take them. So that has to say something in itself.
And since you since you brought that up about the jobs across the league, what are you hearing across the league, like in Jacksonville, L.A., with the Rams and San Diego? Are you hearing any noise about who's going to be their new coaches?
Well, the biggest, I think the two names that I think everybody's really going after, and it's funny because both of them have ties to Houston, is Vance Joseph and Kyle Shanahan. I mean, those are two names that are getting thrown around. I think everybody around the league wants to bring them in and try to take a look at them. And obviously Denver has their eye, I know that, on both of those guys. I think obviously the Denver situation, I'm here in Denver right now, that's one of the most attractive jobs out there when you look at what they have already in place. Those two guys, I think they're going to have kind of their pick at the same time, because, I mean, I was down in Miami and just was in, I don't know, Keenan, I don't know if you, do you know Vance?
Yeah, I know Vance. I know Vance well.
And so tell me if this is accurate. Everybody tells me down there, the best thing about him is, you know, he's a great teacher. He teaches you the why.
Yes.
Not just we do this because we do this, but he teaches you the why as well. When he was in Cincinnati, and he wasn't even the D.C., he was lobbying to get a bigger weight room, lobbying to get better food for the players. I mean, he's doing things as a position coach that a head coach should be doing. Yeah. And Kyle Shanahan, the game plan that he had when he came into Denver and beat up on one of the best defenses in football, that's an offensive mind that's really blossomed, and a lot of people are going to everybody's shopping for those two.
All right, James, before we let you go, if you had to pick, you got Raiders, you got Texans, you got the game everybody wants to hear, and you know you can make some friends or enemies, but hey, don't let that sway you. Who are you picking in that game on Saturday?
I think Brock's going to limit his turnovers, and they're going to rely on Lamar Miller and that defense of Houston. I think they're going to come out on top. It's just too big of a stage, even for a guy with a lot of confidence like Connor Cook, to make your first NFL start in a playoff game and being around the Raiders for a while. I mean, the air has been let out of the balloon since Derek Carr went down.
Well, there you have it. Now, even if Keenan doesn't take care of you on his birthday, you've made enough Texas fans happy. Someone's buying drinks or dinner. You got that already set up. So I hate to warn you, but it's freezing cold here for Houston Texan people. But we welcome you back to the city. Come on back and enjoy a great game on Saturday. Thanks for joining us.
No problem, man. I'm excited. I got the game then going straight to Underbelly.
There you go.
Nice.
There you go. James Palmer's been our guest from the National Network, the NFL Network, the national reporter for the NFL Network, and we always appreciate his time. He did spend some time over at CSN Houston when both of us had doings over there down in the downtown area. We've got plenty more doings to do here. We're going to take a break and be back with a whole lot more. We are ESPN 97.5.
Here in Alabama, Clemson. College football's national championship game, 7 p.m. Monday on ESPN 97.5 and our sister station, SB Nation 1560. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Man, we got a lot of love and support, not just on Keenan's birthday, but every day. Well, we appreciate Derek Brooks. We appreciate James Palmer. We're doing what we can to get you guys every bit of information and knowledge as you head into the weekend for the Wild Card weekend and more. With that being said, we also appreciate our loyal listenership and guys that hang on the phone while we can get those interviews out of the way. So, Ernest, without further ado, you're up next. You want to talk about those Wild Card games. What's up, man? Thanks for holding.
Yeah, man, good interview. And, Keen, happy birthday, bro.
Thanks, Ernest. How you doing today, man?
I'm good today. Yes, sir, man. That Texas game and the Raiders game y'all keep talking about, and I'm going to go on a limb here and say Texas 17, Raiders 24 or 27, and like Rod is going to throw three interceptions by halftime, he will be out of that game.
Wow,
Ernest. You know, if he throws three interceptions by halftime, he's out of the game. He's going to be out of Houston.
I don't know how you can move a guy with that contract, though.
Some way, somehow, they will have given up on Brock if they take him out of this game.
All right, Ernest, since it seems you've brought this weather because of that black cloud you just dropped on us, why do you think that?
Man, the guy has I really think the way he plays, he has no confidence whatsoever, right? I know you can test it with receivers, but I don't know. I don't think he really has any ability to stop himself. I mean, he's tall. He should be able to see the whole stadium, and he's still throwing interceptions. There's a problem there, and he is that problem.
Hey, man, Ernest, we appreciate the call. We appreciate you holding on. Don't be a stranger. You know, it's crazy, but like, and we keep trying to preach it. Look, he is your guy, and you're going to battle with him, so the best you can do is support him. But there is just kind of like this black cloud hovering over this city that's basically expecting the worst. They're hoping for the best. I don't even know how much they're hoping for the best. I just think a lot of people right now are so down on Brock Osweiler that they can't find a way to get up for this game. It's like an undercurrent that's around this game. That's why I'm trying to do what we were doing earlier in the show. Hey, man, look, it is what it is, but you got a home playoff game in your backyard where you can make a difference, the intangibles can make a difference, and you got the number one defense going into the game. Make it happen.
You know what? Throw away what happened in the 9-7 season. It's a new season.
Yeah.
And that's the mindset that he has to have.
He has to have that mindset before you get into that. And you're right. But before you get into that, the other thing I'm saying is, look, if this was a team you played during the regular season and you got your ass handed to you, then I could understand there being an underbelly of, eh. But guess what? You were in that game. You had some calls that didn't go your way. You're in Mexico City, so it's not the ideal conditions to be in. And yet, dare I say, they should have won that game. So if you should have won that game, and now their best player is out. Look, man, like you said, at least you got your number one. At least he was your one for most of the year and at the start of the year. They got their number three. That should be advantage Texans, and that should be enough for you to say, hey, man, I'm going to get behind this team. They're going to get a win. Then anything can happen.
I mean, that's the way I see it. I mean, you look at what Brock has done, and people are like, well, he hasn't did this, he hasn't did that, but he's led this team to a playoff game, a home playoff game.
Right.
They won a championship. So he has to come out with the utmost confidence against the Raiders because he had a pretty good game against the Raiders in Mexico City.
Indeed he did.
And like you said, the calls didn't go the Texans' way.
Right.
If they went the Texans' way, you know, they would have won the game. So now you come in with the confidence like, I've seen this defense before. If we can just protect the passer, me as Brock Osweiler was saying that I can get the ball to my playmakers because I got them to my playmakers in Mexico City. So if he has to come out with that type of mindset, I think he comes out with the utmost confidence because he's had some success against the Raiders.
And that's interesting because more than anything else with Brock Osweiler right now, we know the performance hasn't been great, but that's the number one thing. He's got to find confidence, right?
Right.
We talked about like, The reason they did what they did regardless was Savage was the guy that if you put him in and he didn't do well, you could pull him out easily. Savage would be understanding because he doesn't have any experience and you could move on. Brock could look like a hero. He could come in relief. He would be able to relax. If it was the other way around, you started Brock, not Savage, and he faltered or made any little mistake, he'd be looking over his shoulder the rest of the game going, when are they going to yank me? God, I can't make that throw because if I do and I screw it up, I'm gone. Those are the kind of things you have to have confidence in a playoff game. You can't have anybody playing not to lose. You've got to play to win, as you know. That's why I think confidence is such a key with Brock this weekend.
It is. And we're looking at it like Brock has played in the playoffs. He's been around the playoffs when Peyton was making the final run.
Right.
He really hadn't started a playoff game.
Right.
So you got two guys that haven't started a playoff game, but one that's been around it that has started in the season, in crucial games. Hey, he started the season as the number one. So, you know, we're looking at two guys that hadn't played a playoff game, but we're looking at more experienced guy as far as play time in the National
That's
Football
where I'm
League.
At. Of the two guys, I'll take the guy that at least has, you know, a dozen NFL games or more under his belt to say, I know what it's going to take. I know what it's like. And at least I've been on the sidelines for playoff games, even if I hadn't played. And I got to watch one of the best from up close and personal, so hopefully I learned some things, as opposed to a kid that is raw gets,
yes.
that's unfortunately going to be put in an uncompromising position of, hey, we expect you to do something, and that's going to be a tough call.
And you're right. And me being a player, I know how I feel about my confidence going into a game against certain teams. It's like certain teams you play against, it's like, man, I'm going in, and they're going to get it. You know, hey, my team was the Baltimore Ravens. And the only reason I say it was the Baltimore Ravens is because it was my old team
that was
the Cleveland Browns. Brock should have the confidence coming into this game because he had a lot of success against the Raiders. So guess what? Let's go. He's seen the Raiders before when he was in Denver, so he knows the Raiders pretty well. So when he steps on the field against the Raiders tomorrow, he should come out with boasting confidence.
Well, it'll be interesting to see because that everybody's going to look at the quarterback position. But like you and I have said time and time again, as long as he's got a little confidence and he can be okay being a game manager, then that's okay. What I'm really worried about is defense holding up to make sure they carry their part, and then on the special teams and tangible side, field position is going to be huge. And if it's going to be a tight game, it's going to be low scoring, your field goal kickers come into play just as much as your punter does, and special teams are going to be a big factor in this game.
You know, and it was interesting that James Palmer said that Coach Del Rio was like, hey, let's see what the kid can do. Nobody really knows what the kid can do. We don't even know what the kid can do. You know, it kind of gives me when he said that, it's kind of like, Coach Del Rio had some confidence in this kid.
Yeah.
You know, he's on the wild side because Coach Del Rio, Jack will go for things.
He takes
chances. So he's probably looking at this like, I'm taking a chance. Why the heck not? You know,
well, at the end of the day, what does he have to lose? Because there's never going to be any blame because you've already unfortunately lost one and you're not confident in two, or if he's out, whatever he
and
is.
That could be a scary side for the Texans, because you got a coach that, you know, he really doesn't care. You know what else do we have to lose? Let's try it.
Yeah, you know what? If he scores late and a field goal, and I mean the extra point ties it, don't be surprised if he doesn't go for two again. He did it the regular season. He's willing to take chances. A lot of people think he took too many chances, leaving Carr late in a game that they pretty much, a lot of people thought, had under control. That one, whether he said it publicly or not, has to stick in his craw a little bit.
Just a little bit.
He's a little bit of a riverboat gambler.
Yes.
Don't put that by him either, that he might gamble a couple times in this game if the opportunity presents itself, because he's got nothing to lose. That's a dangerous situation. Hey, we've got two in the books. We got one more hour to go, and we've still got plenty of show. We'd love to have you be a part of it. Ernest was just a part of it. We're getting lots of great dialogue on Twitter. People going back and forth about the Rockets and the tickets and the no-shows and all those kind of things, too. I love it when we have a plan that comes together to allow you guys the forum to kick around sports. We're here till 4 o'clock on the Keenan McCardell Birthday Show. It's Nick. It's Joel. It's Keenan. We're back in a few minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.